Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 21st, 292nd day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County soon-to-be supervisor, still commissioner in the harbor, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So you got two titles now, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I probably have more than that. Some people don't want to mention, but.
Our quote this morning comes from Spencer Tracy. Just know your lines and don't bump into the furniture.
I feel that way sometimes.
Kind of works, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gee. So you're kind of straddling the fence here a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
Little here, little there.
What
is the relationship, the standard relationship between the county and any of the special districts or elected other bodies? Is it something that everybody's kind of kumbaya and knows each other and they handle their own situations? Or like with the county where it's kind of overlapping geographically,
right?
How does that relationship play out now as a commissioner looking to the big house, and then in a couple of months, the big house looking down at those lowly commissioners?
Oh, I don't think they're lowly commissioners
well,
by any means. But
that's a one-story building. You're on the third floor. I mean, it's lowly, right?
Well, sure. I mean, there's a lot of overlapping jurisdictions all over the place. The Harbor District is just one of them. I mean, we have five commissioners that have the same boundaries for constituents as do supervisors. So it's going to be the same for me when I take the seat or the role at the county supervisor level. It'll be the same group of folks. The issues just broaden, I think. And in general, you really want all your agencies to work together as much as possible. And sometimes you do see, unfortunately, some territorial issues that occur and those sorts of things. But from my perspective, I find that's just, those are just human personality issues that cause some inefficiencies, really, in sort of the delivering of services that we all need. And so I really try my best to make sure that everyone gets along and works past those things as quickly as possible.
When was the last time you saw a supervisor at a commission meeting?
Last time we saw a supervisor, I think probably it would have been Supervisor Bass, Virginia, coming in to talk to us, or maybe just listening on an issue that I can't even remember what it was now, to be quite honest. Maybe it had to do with the coastal dependent industrial issue or something else. But there's occasionally we get them in there. Oh, I think Estelle Fennell's been in there, and Mark Lovelace has been in there as well.
Well, at least you recognize a couple of them.
Yeah.
It would seem to me, you know, and I know you're going to get the challenge pretty quick. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to throw you on all these various boards, these different committee appointments and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
That the ones that often are the most important are the ones that are overlooked. You know, you got the state thing, you got, great, but I would think that they would want to, every once in a while, pop into the harbor, pop into the Office of Ed, show right. up to the Community Services District. Those types of things that are part of the area that are here, just, if nothing else, just to kind of hear what's going on.
Right. Well, I mean, everyone has the opportunity to watch the district meetings on public access. You can do it on your own time. You don't necessarily have to take up time of your family time, maybe at dinner, to do that, if it's just to listen in. And there's a lot of good communication that happens outside the meetings, too. And maybe it's not going to a meeting just to listen in, maybe isn't the most efficient way to gather that information. But some people do, and it's usually they're there maybe on a specific issue.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us, Destination Radio.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, going through the process of shifting
right
into a position, out of a position, mm-hmm. certainly lifestyle is going to be changing a little bit because yep. whatever you were doing before, you ain't going to be doing January 1.
No, I mean, it definitely is some big shifting going on.
How does that all happen? I mean, because, yeah, I know, yeah, okay, I take my stuff, I leave the desk, and now I'm something else. But
right.
obviously, there's transitions that go on, there are things that are going on. Mm-hmm. If you're an entrepreneur, it doesn't mean you're going to shut down the biz, it just means right. that it's going to be in a different form for the next period. How are you walking yourself through that process now?
Well, there's a few things that are occurring. One is, I still, even up until January, I'm still a commissioner and I'm still committed to that, you know, to that organization. And time wise, I still have to earn a living that's separate from that, which is doing the consulting work I do as an engineer. And then I also have family. And so, I mean, my time's been pretty full even now. But, of course, now I'm adding in this transition time. And so I've been setting up meetings to meet with department heads at the county, meeting with staff just so that the transition is smooth. I mean, there's some office stuff they have to, you know, get into, understanding what, you know, how travel works. There's a training that I'll be attending the week after Thanksgiving out of the area. That's a new supervisor's training for California. So there's definitely those added inputs. And then there's also the district is going to be seeking a replacement for me. And
is that an appointment or is that a special election?
Well, it can, there's a host of options from special election to an appointment by the board, and they can punt it to the board of supervisors. But the board has selected a direction, which is that they would like to select a new person to replace me. And so we just yesterday put out an announcement, or not yesterday, actually last week, put out an announcement that we're searching for somebody to replace me on the board, and that the district is seeking applications. And by application, that means a resume, a letter, something, some sort of communication that says you're interested in the position. And then the board will appoint a committee to review that and make a recommendation to the board. And
a picture with your hand up.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Right. And so and there's no other qualification really other than that you live in the district. You're a voter in the district. That's the only real qualification.
So you just have to be registered.
Yeah, registered to vote.
Somewhere in the third.
Somewhere in the third, and that's the qualification and to apply. And I think it's a good opportunity for folks that are interested to serve in their community in this way. You know, having an interest in things that are maritime and things that are natural resources and things that are recreation is good, but not an absolute requirement. Really, it's a desire to serve and, you know, help that board function in the best way possible.
It would be kind of interesting, let's see, if you got a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who just absolutely had no connection
right.
formally with that area of responsibility, but was willing to jump in, but brought in a whole different, entirely different perspective
right.
than what the board normally has.
Well, we've had a variety of folks. I mean, even, you know, say like Dennis Hunter was on there for many, many years, and he basically worked in marketing. That was his.
Yeah, Denny was doing his thing, but right. obviously his dad was
right.
Ed Gills.
Right. Well, there's there's always these tangential associations that people have with Humboldt Bay. So it's not no one's that far off from having something to do around Humboldt Bay, and that's probably what will drive someone's interest to apply. It's just been, for me, I've been on the board 10 years, and I encourage people to do this because it's been fascinating and fun. It's a great group of people to work with.
Is it a job?
The issues are great.
I would consider it a job. Is it a job that a regular guy, a 9-to-5 kind of guy that isn't self-employed could do?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. The meetings are in the evening. You know, some people have asked me, like, how many hours does it take up in a week? And sometimes it just depends on, sometimes it's you know, 2 hours in a week, and sometimes it's 10. It depends. Sometimes it's none if I'm on vacation or out of town or whatever. And you have a lot of, everyone's got their varied interests, and so, you know, depending on what's happening, it sort of, it varies a lot. But in general, it's really, you know, it's such a focused, the issues are kind of focused around transportation and natural resources and recreation, and not so much social stuff, but these like really technical things. And it's really kind of, I just, you know, as an engineer, you really got a lot from that. Yeah.
So you need, when you raise your hand, you need to have a pocket protector.
No, you
and
don't.
And white socks on at the same time.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. No, it's just, it's, like I said, it's just been really fun, and so I just encourage
people.
As long
as you're passionate about some element of it,
yeah,
game on.
And for me, I mean, that's one of the motivations I had to run for supervisor on a personal level. You know, there was the community service element, but it's such a distraction to my day-to-day job. It was a passion to do public service, and so, and that's where I got it from, was really being on this board.
So you're going to shut down your practice, or are you going to do it at a different level? How's that going to process through?
I think it's going to mostly mothball for a while. It still can exist, but really, this is a supervisor's a full-time job. The expectation from the constituency is that, it's my expectation of myself to make it that way. I'm not giving up my engineering license or anything like that. I still have a business card, but that's been an issue, not an issue, but it's been a transition for me now, which is like not accepting new work and transitioning out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always tough.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson, Harbor Commissioner and Supervisor-to-be. Talk Shop presented by Redek and CDH Painting. Mike, the concept of this transition, part of it is looking forward, which is the cool part, I would think.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of it's also looking back and saying, can we wrap this up? Can we do something? You know, let me have closure on something.
Yeah.
What's the something you're going to be trying to run at here in the last 10 weeks to try to get taken care of so at least that isn't something someone's going to have to inherit?
Well, I mean, going back to really trying to select someone to fill out my term is kind of the main issue that I'm dealing with right now. Certainly, there's a lot of stuff hanging over the district right now in terms of, you know, figuring out what to do with regards to dredging both the marinas and the King Salmon area. That's a big one. The dredge is ready to go. I mean, the dredge that was purchased as part of the agreement with PG&E. It's been purchased, it's been refurbished, it's ready. It's just a matter of permitting, really, is the issue. And we
The permitting, you mean where you put
the spoils?
The spoils.
Yeah.
Can you do that on land? Does it have to be out offshore somewhere?
No, you could. You could, but there's permitting issues with that because it's not just spoils of dirt or mud or whatever, it's also the water that comes with it. And so you have to deal with that as basically like it's almost like it's pollution, even though it's not necessarily
not toxic.
It's not necessarily toxic, but it's something you have to deal with, and it's a water quality issue.
So you can just go and use it as fill somewhere.
Well, you have to dewater it before you use something as fill. And then if you do it that way, the problem with putting it on land is then you have these handling costs, you know, so you
the
put
in transportation.
The transportation of transporting it out of wherever it is can double or triple the cost. And so right now what the district is doing is to really create a matrix so that everybody can see all the options that have been looked at, what the costs are for each one of those. And even one step further, you know, really looking at what's the cost to the people renting at the marinas, because really, you know, that's where probably a bulk of that cost will probably go, is, you know, the, and we've put fees on the per foot slip costs, and there's been a fund that's been created for that, but when we really have what the real option is, we'll know the real cost, and then we'll have to adjust from there. And so some of the options are, like you said, putting it on land. Some of it is an option is putting it out the outfall. An option is what's called basically putting it into the channel itself and then on an outgoing tide. And so what happens is that then anything that is accumulated there is then picked up when the Army Corps dredge comes in annually. And the volume difference
does
is
that
so,
normally involve a can being kicked down a road?
Well, not really.
It seems like
because we don't have a way to transport it out 3 miles out necessarily. We don't have that technology there. The dredging that the Army Corps does is over an order of magnitude. I mean, it's 10 times, 20 times larger than what we're doing in the marinas. What we're doing in the marinas is so much smaller than when the annual dredge comes in that it's...
They're just kind of cleaning up the edges.
Exactly. And really when it's called flow, it's basically flow laning is what is the term for it. And so when you pump it out on an outgoing tide, so really most of it would actually go out in the outgoing tide anyway.
So that's a normal practice?
It is in some places, yeah. It's just in California we haven't really done it. But in Washington State, it gets done on the Columbia River in Oregon and other places like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have to look at all those options and get that out on the table so that the public can see what those are and we can make an informed decision.
So taking it to Dubai then is not for their islands doesn't make any sense.
No, definitely not. I mean, if shipping water around is also, you know, people looked at that and it turns out from an energy perspective, even doing reverse osmosis or, you know, basically filtering water at the source, at ocean water is cheaper from an energy perspective. Turns out water's heavy.
Really? Was it 8.6 a gallon?
I don't know. I can't remember like right
that.
Now.
Fish tanks. That's all. Right. My only reference. So the dredging is, there are different degrees of dredging.
Yeah, I mean, there's really, I mean, when people talk about, well, you have a dredge, can you, when the district has a dredge, can you dredge the entrance? And the answer is no. Our dredge is very small, relatively speaking. It's really made for what we call off-channel. So there's like in the channels, which is the deep parts, and the off-channel is where the lighter stuff drops out. So it's really muds and clays and some sands, right?
What's down in the deep parts?
In the deep parts is mostly gravels. So
oh, really?
Yeah, so they're actually they're composed of completely different materials, and so they're very, very different, and they just and so the annual dredging that occurs for the Army Corps with these giant ships, which people have seen come in. I mean, these are humongous ships. They have amazing amounts of technology on them as well. They actually are monitored almost to the inch where the dredge cutter heads are, and that all that information is sent back by every 30 seconds or so to a database in Alabama via satellite. And so they're actually able to map as they dredge those deep channels.
Where they're going and
where they're going. Yeah. They know exactly what their volumes are. And so that's how that's done. Where our dredge is like this thing on a little barge and it's got a pipe and we're trying to figure out where does
Bob and Sam and a shovel, yeah.
Right. And where does that pipe go is really the issue. And where does what's coming out of that pipe, where can that be received?
Has there been dredging historically in the South Bay, south of Fields Landing, or has it always been as it is now?
No, it's been dredged for sure. If you think about Fields Landing in all those areas,
down by CR, down by where the ranches are.
There probably has been some dredging. Remember, there was a dredge that was
the old wooden one that kind of got stuck.
Got polka dots on it for a while and then burned down. Yeah, that. So there has been dredging in those channels in the past for various uses, but from an industrial perspective, not for a while.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Mike Wilson.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, dredging is something that's kind of I think it's like undergrounding utilities.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of like it. You know what's going on. You know it needs to go on, but you're really not sure what it is. And it just kind of, you presume things are happening. How, if Humboldt Bay isn't dredged, so like the old time guys, right?
Right.
Or when they were building the schooners on the waterfront.
Right.
How deep was it then?
I think I've read about 26 feet or something in the deepest part. So somewhat deep. But the issue is this kind of moving shoal, which is a mound of sand at the entrance. You know, it's a somewhat controlled natural system. And it would be extremely dangerous to cross for any vessel at all, schooner or otherwise. And it has been in the past if we don't, you know, maintain that deep channel at the entrance. And so we do have business. I mean, we have log ships coming in and out. We have those. And
has to get done, yeah.
It has to get done, yeah.
What about the North Bay? You know, back when the choo-choo train went out and Arcata was more commerce associated, or had commerce associated with the bay, did it look like it does now? Or was it different? Because I've seen some of those pictures of the schooners and stuff up on the old dock, and it's like, you know, there's no way in the world you could even get within a half mile now.
Right.
So is that a reaction of that
dock went way out, you know, in the bay, and there is a channel there. I'm going to guess that probably the channel's shallower than it was now. I haven't actually seen it. But those schooners definitely had their draft was nothing compared to today. I mean, it's a very, very different
scenario. It's like
you're
getting to Port Kenyon. Yeah, a little bit different ballgame.
I mean, it's hard to even imagine the bay as it was, you know, during those times in the current context. I mean, there was, you know, before 1850, so much of the bay was not necessarily farmland. It was
swamp.
Marsh,
yeah.
and that's changed because that's volume that ordinarily would come in and out with the tides, and that was what would drive scouring at the entrance of the bay. So we actually have reduced the amount of scouring by diking and draining off those lands, that the volume of water is significantly less. And in Humboldt Bay, about 70% of the water comes in and out during a tidal cycle, which is one of the reasons why the bay is, the water is so clean. So
it doesn't have much chance to have residual.
Right, right. And it's a driver for, like I said, scouring at the entrance.
Is that the same in Alaska or any of the really northern areas where they get so much more motion? Are those bays typically cleaner than those closer to the equator just because of that in and out?
Well, it's just a volume issue. So it's really the configuration. They call it the tidal prism. So it's like the shape of a prism, right? And they call it the tidal prism. So it's just every bay is different with regards to that.
Okay, so it's more like a person. It's specific to that bay.
Yeah, it's specific to the ratio between the entrance size of the entrance and the size of the bay.
All right. Well, hey, another mystery solved.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, it was great.
Whatever badge you're wearing today.
I don't know. Like I said, some are good and some are bad.
Yeah. Well, coming at you, I'm walking away from you.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.